Good morning. Well, hopefully we won't see any more snow for the rest of the year. Not much chance of that, though. But this weather's okay. Got a lot of things going on. The thing that I want to point out and encourage you is to come out Wednesday night. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock for a solemn service, usually brief, where we have the imposition of ashes. So it is our Ash Wednesday service on Wednesday. And I realize that it is also Valentine's Day. So, ladies and gentlemen, at the very least, make sure you sit down at the table and handwrite a Valentine's Day card if you don't actually go out and buy one. Have a wonderful Valentine's Day, and I hope to see you here for the Ash Wednesday service at 7 o'clock. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. And dear Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for today, for all the blessings that you've given to us, for the sacred and holy ground upon which we're gathered. Thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would pour out your Spirit upon this service, that it would be pleasing to you and life-changing to us. Come, Holy Spirit, and mold us and shape us into the new creatures in Christ that you would have us be for your honor and glory and praise. Fill us with love for one another and especially with love for you, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. Okay. We're trying to refrain from the greeting and hugging for a little while longer as the flu continues to run its course. But we can still get real friendly without that. So let's pass the peace of Christ to one another. The peace of Christ be with you. Let's pass it to one another.
Good morning, everyone. It's very interesting to see the innovative ways you all decide to pass the peace of Christ without actually hugging and kissing. So, peace be with you all. This is what we were doing up here. We were doing this. There are a lot of announcements in our moments of informality. The church is very active, and we want to make sure you don't miss any of the activities that are going on. One of the things is that there is a coffee hour after today's service. So please take advantage of coming back and having some punch, coffee, or tea, and a sweet treat, and meet and greet members of the congregation. Also, we do have the clipboard that I'm going to pass around. This is for you to sign up for any areas of service that you may be able to help with in the congregation. Please sign it up, pass the clipboard back to the last person. I am also asking for people to help me iron tablecloths for the Last Supper. They are long white tablecloths. They're all washed. They just need to be ironed. And if I can get several people to iron two of them, it'll take some of the burden off of just one person. So please, if you're able to help me with this, let me know, and I'll get the tablecloths to you. Pardon? Oh. Diane's going to put it right onto the clipboard. She's going to write something on it. Do you have a pen right there? Okay. Also, please be aware that the ladies from the United Methodist Women are inviting you to come to their meeting on February the 12th at 10 a.m. It's going to be a short business meeting. Then they'll have a speaker from the Welcome Home Shelter in Greensburg. And lunch. Most of all, there's going to be great fellowship. You are very welcome to come there. And more than that, it's free, so that is good. The United Methodist Women February collection for shoeboxes will be small games, footballs, soccer balls, checkers, journals, jewelry, and other items for the older age group from 10 to 14. That information is also in your bulletin if you need more information about that. Are there any other announcements that anyone in the congregation would like to make? Okay. There being none, let us begin our worship service. First of all, I'd like to welcome anyone who is visiting with us today. If you are visiting with us, welcome. We have a welcome packet for all visitors on the Shepherd's Crook back in the Norfolk. So if you would like to take one of those to find out more information about our church, please feel free to do so. Also, if you notice someone who normally sits beside you who isn't here today, perhaps give them a call. Let them know that they're missed, and that if there's anything we can do for them, please let us know. Don't forget to sign the red pew pads, registering your attendance here today. Our memory verse for February is at the top of your bulletin. Let us repeat it through two times. Matthew 5:44. But I tell you, love your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you. Matthew 5:44. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Would you please stand for the call to worship? The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting.
I am Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth.
Our God comes and does not keep silence, before whom is a devouring fire, round about whom is a mighty storm.
God calls to the heavens above and to the earth, that the people may be judged.
Gather to me my faithful ones, who made a covenant with me, my sacrifice.
The heavens declare God's righteousness, for God alone is judge.
Our unison prayer on Transfiguration is number 259, but it is printed in your bulletin. Let us pray together. Holy God, upon the mountain you revealed our Messiah, who by his death and resurrection would fulfill both the law and the prophets. By his transfiguration, enlighten our path, that we may dare to suffer with him in the service of humanity, and so to share in the everlasting glory of him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever. Amen. Our hymn is an insert in your bulletin, Come to the Mountain Peak.
Good morning. And who loves us?
Jesus
loves us bunches and bunches. Well, we're going to play a little game today. We're Christians, and we're Christians because we act like Jesus. So we're going to play this little game. So first, I need you to stand up down here. Okay, I need you to do that because I need a place to sit. There we go. Okay. I have a list here, a list of animals. I want you to pick out a number, and then I'll tell you what animal it is, and then you do something to act like that animal, okay? Okay, it's a number from 1 to 14. Somebody pick out a number between 1 and 14. 10, that would be a pig. What's a pig do or sound like? There you go, very good. Somebody else. One, it's a horse. What's a horse do? Yeah, that's right. Giddy up, giddy up. Okay, next. 14. That's a cow. What's a cow do? Moo, yeah. Next. 11, sheep. Bah, yeah. Try a different one. 9. It's a frog. Ribbit. Ribbit. Who's next? Who didn't guess one? 13 is an owl. What's an owl do? Woo, woo. That's right. 12 is a wolf. A woo, yes. 8 is a lion. Roar. Or as I tell my grandchildren, roar! And then they run across the room. Bap, bap, so funny. Okay. So it's easy for us to imitate animals because we've seen the animals. We see them on TV. Sometimes we've seen them in person. And so we know what they do and how they act. Now, how are we supposed to imitate Jesus? Because we're Christians. How do we learn how to imitate Jesus? Have you ever seen Jesus? Okay. So how do we learn to act like Jesus? Okay. Be nice to people and that. But that's what Jesus does. How do we learn to do that stuff? Bible. The Bible's the biggest thing. We read the Bible. We read it and read it and read it and study it. It tells us all about Jesus. But where can we learn how to act like Jesus? And we pray, good, talk to God, and the Holy Spirit will help us act like Jesus. Heaven? Well, eventually when we get there, yes, we'll see Jesus face to face. How about here? Church. Yeah, we come to church and Sunday school and we learn about Jesus and we learn how to act and live and how to imitate Jesus. This is the place. Through prayer and studying the Bible and hanging out with other Christians and worshiping God together, we learn how to imitate Jesus so that you and I can be Jesus to the rest of the world. That's how we imitate Jesus. Okay, come on up here and let's pray. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you anoint all of us with your Spirit. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, make us more like Jesus. We ask it in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, Amen. Amen.
We will walk in the light of
Choir. Very peppy. Our Old Testament reading today is from the book of 2 Kings, second chapter, verses 1 through 12. And this is about Elijah and Elisha. Elijah was a prophet, a well-known prophet, and Elisha was his protege, someone who he was preparing to carry on his work after Elijah was taken to heaven. And hear these words. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were traveling from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Bethel." But Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you." So they went down together to Bethel. The group of prophets from Bethel came to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today?" "Of course I know," Elisha answered, "but be quiet about it." Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Jericho." But Elisha replied again, "As surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you." So they went on together to Jericho. Then the group of prophets from Jericho came to Elisha and asked him, "Did you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today?" "Of course I know," Elisha answered, "but be quiet about it." Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to the Jordan River." But again Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you." So they went together. 50 men from the group of prophets also went and watched from a distance as Elijah and Elisha stopped beside the Jordan River. Then Elijah folded his cloak and struck the water with it. The river divided, and the two of them went across to dry ground. When they came to the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I can do for you before I am taken away." Then Elisha replied, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit and become your successor." "You have asked a very difficult thing," Elijah replied. "If you see me when I am taken from you, and then you will get your request. But if you do not see me when I am taken from you, you won't." As they were walking along and talking, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared, drawn by horses of fire. It drove between the two men, separating them. And Elijah was carried by a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha saw it and cried out, "My father, my father, I see the chariots and the charioteers of Israel." And as they disappeared from sight, Elisha tore his clothes in distress. Will the ushers please come forward for our morning offering?
Show the way that I walk in my life, the love that you've given. Do they recognize your face? Do I communicate your love and your grace? Do I reflect who you are in the way I choose to be? Do they see Jesus? Jesus. It's amazing that you'd ever use me, but use me the way that you will. Help me to hold out a heart of compassion and grace, a heart that your Spirit fills. May I show forgiveness and mercy the same way you've shown it to me. Jesus in me.
Jesus in
Do they recognize your face? Do I communicate your love and your grace? Do I reflect who you are in the way I choose to be? Do they see Jesus? Jesus in me. Well, I want to show all the world that you are the reason I live and breathe.
You are the reason.
So you'll be the one that they see when they see. Do they see Jesus in me?
Jesus in
Do they recognize your face? Do I communicate your love and your grace? Do I reflect who you are in the way I choose to be? Jesus in me.
So they see Jesus living in me.
Help me reflect who you are,
my Jesus,
in the way I choose to be. So they see Jesus.
So they see Jesus.
May they see Jesus. They see Jesus, Jesus in me.
Dear Heavenly Father, once again, we give you thanks for all the blessings that you bestowed upon us and for this opportunity to give back to you just a small portion of that which you have blessed us with. And we pray, God, that you would bless and multiply this offering, that it would more than meet the needs of this church for the spreading of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ to a hurting world. Bless both gift and giver, those who are able to give and those who weren't. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Please be seated. What joys do we have we want to share today? Indoor plumbing is a joy, absolutely. Oh, no, no, why? You? Me? Well,
warmer weather.
Today, 2/11/78. What time was it? 6 o'clock? 5:30? I don't know. But 2/11/78, 40 years ago, Bonnie married me. So, yes. She deserves a medal. So that's a joy. My daughter came over Friday, her and her husband and their child and their new addition to their family, their little puppy. Aren't puppies wonderful? They're just so much fun. Yeah. Other joys. What other joys do we have? Anybody watching the Olympics? It's pretty neat, cool, joy. The twins here are a joy.
To lose weight, I've lost 23 pounds.
Well, good for you. She's lost. Connie's lost 23 pounds. All right. That's a joy. And I've been in the gym for the last couple of weeks, making that a real habit. And I've run into Bill, now David back here. Run into them at the gym, and sometimes I just sit out in the parking lot. I can feel the fat draining off me. Yeah, so, trying to talk myself into going in, but. So for all of our joys, we say, praise the Lord. I also saw some folks last week, Bob and Lori, and Betty and I spent some time gabbing, and Betty's here with us today. Betty, they're all coming along. So now it's that time when we lift up in prayer people who need it, and we pray for them. As often as God reminds us about them, we say a little prayer for them. Prayer makes a difference. We've had some losses. Dave and family. Dave's mother passed away, Elizabeth, and she passed away yesterday. Jeannie's mother-in-law, Ruth, died. So keep Jeannie, our secretary, her mother-in-law passed away. Keep her in your prayers. Keep Mary in your prayers. Mary's battling some pneumonia. And also we want to pray for Ellen, who's just recovering from the flu. All those who are battling the flu. Matthew and family, want to pray for Matt and family. Continue to keep our David in your prayers. And Bob, JJ, Lori, Bernetta. We want to pray for Mary and Madeline and Craig. Others.
Prayers for the choir, please. Notice we kind of dwindled in numbers, and we could always use additional members to be able to bring special music to you week after week, not only in the chancel choir, but for the Living Last Supper choir. We need men especially. If you could see it in your hearts to come join us, we'd appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, so we need to pray for the choir, and we need to get involved with the choir. Okay, pray for Cindy. David, pray for David. Pray for Natalie and her family. Back of your bulletin, list of names. Please take that home, at least once a month, take that home and pray for all those people on the back of your bulletins. Okay, Vanessa, and Ginny, a young lady, comes to Saturday night service. I want to pray for Ginny. Yep, Bishop will be on district this week, Thursday, 7:30 in the evening. If you'd like to go see the bishop, let me know. Any other prayer requests? We want to pray for all addicts everywhere and for our country and our country's leaders, all levels of the government, always be in prayer for our government. Pray for our church, that we would grow in leaps and bounds, that financially we would prosper and that we would think outside the box and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray for the Olympics, that they would truly unite our world and bring peace. Pray for our first responders, men and women in the military, the poor, the sick, the afflicted, the destitute, and the lonely. Pray for those who are lost, who don't know Jesus. So for all of our concerns, we say, Lord, hear our prayers. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and God, we thank you and praise you for our blessings, because we indeed are blessed, so we are so prosperous, Lord. And God, we believe that you're greater than any problem that we have or anybody has. We believe that. We believe in the power of prayer. We believe that prayer makes a difference. And so, God, we lift up in prayer into the light and love of your presence, Cindy and David and Natalie and Vanessa and Ginny and our bishop. We lift up to you the choir and Todd, the Olympics, men and women in your families in the military. We pray for Matthew and Stephanie and Daniel and Mary and Madeline and Craig. We pray for Dave and his family. We pray for Mary and Alan, for Matt and his family, for all those who are battling the flu and the other crud that's going around. And we pray for David and Bob and JJ. Be with JJ, Lord, as he is going for an operation this week. And Lori, Lord, we ask that you would touch her with a healing touch. Be with Bernetta and bless our country and our country's leaders. Bless our church. Bring a healing to those who are addicted, Lord, in any way whatsoever. Those are the ones that we bring to you today spoken. And now, God, with the uplifted hand, we give to you the unspoken request as well. And, Lord, we believe, help our unbelief. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. We have favor with God and man. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. With you, God, all things are possible. It is written. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please stand for the reading of our gospel from Mark, chapter 9, verses 2 to 9. This is the word of the Lord. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud. This is my son whom I love. Listen to him. Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Please be seated.
So,
nothing changes. Everything remains the same. That's not true. Everything changes. The only thing that doesn't change in life is God. There is no shadow of turning with God. And you know what? There are people who say, well, you know, society, we've learned new things and discovered new stuff, and science knows more, and medicine, and so God's word is flexible and it changes. Well, it doesn't. There is no shadow of turning with God. What God said thousands and thousands of years ago still goes today. Jesus on the cross said, it is finished. He didn't say, well, this is enough for now. Tune in later. He said, it is finished. And so everything changes. You know, we see the mountains in the distance, and they were that way when we were kids, and they look the same to us today. But you know what? They've changed. They've eroded. The wind and the water and temperatures have changed them. Metal, that jewelry and all that stuff fades, and it, even if it's microscopic, even if it's infinitesimal, everything changes somehow or another. You know, it's just part of the decay of life. And as much as we hate change, we can't stop it. Change is inevitable. It's going to come whether we like it or not. So what is it that changes us? First, it's age. You know, we aren't getting any younger. Age changes us. Now, you know, of course, some of us, like me and Brian, we're like a fine wine. We get better with age. So like, you know, me and Brian, we're like a fine wine. We get better with age. Okay, well, but age changes us. There's other things that change us. Education. We have any teachers here? Anybody teach? I'm telling you, teaching is something I would have loved to have done. You teach people to see the world differently. It changes the way they perceive things. They learn to see possibilities. And so education, it changes us. We're not the same people after we've been educated as we were before. And there are other things that change us as well. Experiences. Good experiences and bad experiences. You know, you can go training for a job. It's kind of like education, boot camp, things like that. You can go to the gym. You can sculpt your body. But we can also, you know, if you go off to war, it changes you. You could be in a car wreck or get an injury. It changes you. Get a disease. You'll look at life differently. Lose a loved one. Lose a job. Have to move. I mean, there's all kinds of experiences in life that change us. Hit the lottery. It can change the way you look at life, who you are. So there's a lot of things that change us. Again, change is inevitable. It's going to happen. It's going to come whether we like it or not. And Jesus changed. Jesus was transfigured on the mountain. But transfigured means transformed. It usually means transformed for the better. And Jesus was transfigured in front of Peter, James, and John. He was changed in such a way that they got to behold his glory as of the one and only begotten Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, the rider on the white horse. And he glowed with a brilliance that just did not exist in the world. It was unnatural to Peter, James, and John, but they beheld his glory. They witnessed something that no other human being had ever seen. And Jesus was transfigured, but so were Peter, James, and John. They were changed forever because of what they'd seen. And when they were coming down the mountain, Jesus told them not to let anybody know. It wasn't time yet. Because what they had seen happen, what transfigured them, what changed them deep inside was the glory of God. They knew that this was otherworldly, that this was beyond the laws of nature. And they were told to keep quiet about that until Jesus was resurrected. And then the pieces of the puzzle would all come together. It was too soon to say anything because it just wouldn't fit. You know, it's after Jesus was resurrected, he appeared unto the disciples, right? Behind locked doors. Behind locked doors. All of a sudden, he appeared unto them. They were frightened, and he said, "Whoa, peace. Peace, don't be afraid." And he said, "It's me." He said, "Look at the holes in my hands. Put your hand in my side where the spear had pierced me." And he said, "It's me." And who wasn't with them? Thomas. Thomas, the disciple, wasn't with them. And so Jesus appears unto them, and they talk with him, and he leaves. And a little bit later, Thomas comes in. "Hey, what's up, guys? Jesus was just here." "Yeah, right. You know he died. John saw him die on the cross. You know he's dead, and I know we've heard rumors of him, you know, floating around, but no, he was here. He came and stood among us. He didn't even come through the doors. He just all of a sudden, poof, was there. And we know it was him because he showed us the scars and the wounds that he had." Thomas says, "I won't believe it unless I see it for myself." See, the other disciples were transfigured. They were changed through their meeting with Jesus. That's when Peter and James and John get to say, "We saw his glory. We beheld his glory on the mountain. We know what this is like." And Thomas is not buying it. And then a little bit later, the disciples all meet together again behind closed doors. And poof, there's Jesus. And Jesus right away goes to Thomas and says, "Hey, come here." Thomas, "I'm not sure about this." Jesus says, "Come on, put your fingers in here, right in these holes. Put your hand in my side." He said, "It's me." And then Thomas was transfigured. He was changed from a doubter to a believer. He was on fire for the Lord. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and said, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said, "You believe because you've seen. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet they believe." Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Those are the people to whom we reach out. We have been transfigured through our salvation, through our relationship with Jesus. Like we were telling the kids, the more we hang out with one another, the more we study the scriptures, the more we worship together and praise the Lord together and pray to Jesus, the more we become like Christ. We are transfigured. We are changed. We're no longer the same. Second Corinthians, chapter 5, beginning with verse 16. "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view." We don't look at people the same way anymore because we've met Jesus. "Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here." We are transfigured, new creatures in Christ. "All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us." We are the ones who want to introduce people to Jesus, so that when they behold Jesus, then they are transfigured through meeting Jesus. Through the things that we do and the things that we say, we have to be great imitators of Christ. We are not the ones who change people. But we are the ones who introduce people to the one who can change them, who can transfigure them. And it says, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God, transfigured by the love of Christ. So transfiguration. We're not to remain the same. We are to change. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit to come into our lives right now. Come into our heart in this moment and change us into the new creatures in Christ that you would have us be. Anoint us and empower us. Fill us with the boldness of knowing that everything changes and that the only change that matters is the one for Christ. Come, Holy Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Change is coming for everybody. And in the end, it will be either heaven or hell. The only change, the only one who can transfigure us and from death to life, from decay to immortality, is Christ. No other way. It is the only way. God loves you, and so do I. Let's stand and sing. Still battling the flu epidemic going on around here, so we're going to give it a few more weeks and not greet. So we're inviting you to come across the hall for our refreshments, and make sure you use a lot of hand sanitizer throughout this week, and soap and water, and if you've got a cough or sniffle, make sure you're coughing into a Kleenex or a hanky, and don't visit those who are sick or weak. Let's hang in there until this passes, and keep each other in prayer. So, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. Bless our refreshments, Lord, that they would nourish us and do us no harm, and bless all of us under your service. Come, Holy Spirit, remind us of all that Jesus has said and done, so that we can go out and do likewise. Transfigure us, Lord, through the washing of the Word, through the presence of the Holy Spirit, for your honor and glory and praise, in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, Amen. Amen.